Stalking Tales. You're about to hear the first episode of The Last of the Mohicans, in the further adventures of that famous woodsman, pioneer, and scout, Natty Bumppo, whom you have previously met as the central figure of that thrilling story, The Deer Slayer. We now meet him under the name of Hawkeye. The production is written and directed by Charles Frederick Lindsley.
The scene of our drama is laid in the dark recesses of that section which lay between the headwaters of the Hudson and the adjacent lakes. The period is the time of the colonial wars of North America, when the yells of savages mingled with every fitful gust of wind from the interminable forest. The present episode opens just after sunrise one summer morning, before the stout defense of Fort Edward. The quiet air is broken by a bugle call and is answered by scurrying feet and the confusion of voices. Officers shout guarded commands. 1,500 men fall into line and to the muffled drumbeat begin their trek into the woods on their way to succor Fort William Henry, which is weakly garrisoned and has sent for help against an impending attack by the French General Montcalm. General Webb is standing at the door of his quarters, talking with a young officer, Major Hayward, and a young woman, Cora Monroe. Cora is the daughter of the general commanding Fort William Henry. She has been visiting at Fort Edward and is now trying to join her father before Montcalm begins his attack. Major Hayward, a close friend of the family, has been sent to act as her personal guide and protector. General Webb is speaking.
Thank God they're on their way at last.
It's generous of you, General Webb. 1,500 reinforcements will bring fresh courage to Fort William Henry.
We're in a tight fix, Major Hayward. Montcalm is ready to strike at any moment. And my scouts report he outnumbers us 2-1.
More than that, sir. He has every renegade Iroquois he can muster.
I know. Unless these stout logs can hold them off, this forest may see another massacre. When do you leave?
At once. Miss Monroe here wants to get to William Henry, where she will be with her father if trouble develops.
Miss Monroe, your visit here has been very pleasant. I'm sorry that this unexpected advance of the French should cause you inconvenience.
Oh, I'm not alarmed, General Webb. Only I do regret to cut short your very pleasant hospitality. But then I know Father will want me with him.
Naturally. Are you following the main column, Hayward?
No, sir. That runner you see yonder by the big oak is taking us by a shortcut. We should arrive several hours before the detachment.
Oh, Duncan, surely not that hideous creature. How can you trust such a savage at a time like this?
I know him, my dear, or you may be sure I would not trust you to his keeping.
What tribe, Hayward?
He's said to be a Canadian, General, but has served with our friends, the Mohawks.
How did he come among us?
I don't know exactly, but it was by some strange incident in which your father was interested, and in which the savage was harshly dealt with.
If he has been my father's enemy, I like him still less. Why must we take a secret trail anyway? Why not journey with the troops?
Because the enemy spies know we are sending this detachment to your father's help, and they know the route they'll take. There may be fighting on the way. Therefore, for your sake, the secret trail known to this guide will be safer.
Major Hayward is right, Miss Monroe. There are many Indians faithful to our cause. And if Duncan knows this runner, you need have no fear.
Duncan, something tells me you're taking the wrong course. I don't like his looks. There's something evil about him.
I'll answer for his conduct. If necessary, these pistols will persuade him to keep his word.
Very well. Goodbye, General Webb. You've been very kind to me.
Goodbye, Miss Monroe. Goodbye, Hayward. God go with you.
Thank you.
Duncan, I'm worried. How long did the guide say this journey would take us?
He promised to reach the fort by early afternoon.
And it's almost night now. Oh, could we be off the trail?
Not likely, though I confess I'm disappointed.
There's something I wanted to tell you the last hour. We've been hurrying so fast, I haven't had a chance.
Yes?
Well, just as we came out of that dark gully back there, I happened to look over my shoulder. And I know I saw a painted Indian peering from the bushes.
Are you sure?
Quite. He vanished just as our eyes met, but I know he was spying on us. And such an evil face. It froze my blood.
Oh, you're nervous, Cora. Your overwrought imagination probably conjured up this vision.
I'm sure we're being spied on, I tell you. Duncan, I feel a strange spell on us. I felt it ever since we left General Webb this morning. Speak to the guide, won't you? Ask him if he knows where we are.
I mustn't let him think we are distrustful, but I will inquire.
Magua! Magua! Stop a moment. The lady is tired and wants to rest. How far are we from the lake, Magua?
Many miles.
Many miles? You said we would arrive by 2 o'clock. It's almost night now.
Trail slow.
Are you sure you're on the right trail?
Right trail.
Then why has it taken us so long? We're not prepared to spend the night in the woods. How much longer will it take? Oh, come, you speak better English than that. Tell me if anything is wrong.
Duncan, look. Look, there's the trees on that log. They're Indians. He's led us into an ambush.
Where?
There to the right.
I see. Yes, they are Indians. Oh, but there's a white man with them. Come ahead with me.
Magua, stay here.
Halt! Who comes?
Friends to the law and the king.
Up your arms.
Can you tell us the distance to a fort of the crown called William Henry? We've been traveling since sunrise without food. I fear we're lost.
Fort William Henry? Why, you're entirely off the scent, man. If you're a friend of the king and have business of the king, you'd better to follow the river down to Fort Edward and lay the matter of Fort General Webb.
Why, it was Fort Edward we left this morning. This lady you see with me here is the daughter of General Monroe, commander at Fort William Henry. She's on her way to join her father. We left Webb's camp this morning with a special guide, whom we trusted to take us to our objective by a secret path. But it begins to look as if we've been deceived. In plain words, we don't know where we are.
Who is your guide?
An Indian who came to the fort and volunteered to serve in such capacity.
Strange, an Indian should be lost in the woods when the sun is scorching the treetops and the watercourses are full, and the moth on every beach can tell him in which quarter the North Star will shine at night. Is he a Mohawk?
Not by faith, but adopted in that tribe. I think his birthplace is farther north. He's one of those you call a Huron.
A Huron? And you trust him? I wonder that you haven't fallen in with more of his blood-taken kind.
He's a Mohawk now, I tell you, and claims to serve with our forces as a friend.
And I tell you, a Mingo will die a Mingo.
Enough. I know about this guide. I'm not willing yet to believe he's treacherous. He's a stranger to you, and you shouldn't judge him. But you haven't answered my question. What is our distance from the main army of Edward?
That depends on who's your guide. One would think that such a horse as yours might get over a good deal of ground atwixt sunup and sundown.
I have no time for idle words with you, friend. If you tell me the distance to Fort Edward and conduct us there, you'll be rewarded.
And in so doing, how do I know that I don't guide an enemy and a spy of Montcalm to the works of the army?
I speak English.
Not everyone who can speak the English tongue is an honest subject.
Are you a scout for the king's forces?
You speak true.
Then you should know such a regiment of the king as the 60th?
The 60th? You can tell me little of the Royal Americans that I don't know, though I do wear a hunting shirt instead of a scarlet jacket.
Then you may know the name of its major.
Its major? If there's a man in the country who knows Major Effingham, he stands before you.
The gentleman you name is the senior officer over all. I speak of the junior officer. He who commands the companies in garrison at William Henry.
I've heard that a young man of vast riches from one of the southern provinces has the place. And he's said to be a soldier and a gallant gentleman.
Whether he be all of that or not, he is speaking to you now. I am no enemy. Accept my word for that.
I heard a party was to leave the encampment this morning for the lake shore.
You heard the truth. But I preferred a nearer route, and I trusted to the Indian I mentioned to lead us.
He deceived you, and deserted.
Neither. At least not the latter, for he's just up the trail away, waiting for it.
I should like to look at the greeter. If it's a true Iroquois, I can tell him by his knavish look and his paint. You wait here till I return. These Indians by me are Mohican friends. This is Chingachgook, and this is his son, Uncas.
You have heard this conversation, Mohicans. Do you think it likely I've been deceived?
Hawkeye, we'll say.
Who is this white friend you call Hawkeye?
Great scout, guide. Eye sartin, finger lightning.
Do you know about this war between the French and the English?
Chingachgook, no.
And what is his side?
English friend.
And you?
Hawkeye friend. Huron enemy.
Huron enemy, eh? You will find enough business for your scalping knives pretty soon. Montcalm has the entire Iroquois tribe at his back.
Hawkeye come.
It's just as I thought, Major. You've been tricked. I knew it as soon as I laid eyes on the apartment. The thief is leaning against a sugar sapling just beyond that first oak. I am tempted to take him between the ankle and the knee and put an end to his tramping through the woods for a month or so.
No, it'll not do. He may be innocent. Yet, if I was sure of his treachery...
Then I give you another plan, Major. You go back and hold the imp in talk. These Mohicans will steal up and take him without breaking his paint.
No. If you're right, I'll seize him myself.
What can you do mounted against an Indian in the bushes?
I will dismount.
When he saw one of your feet out of the stirrups, he wouldn't wait for the other to be free.
Then I will talk openly with the miscreant and pretend he's my truest friend.
Very good. Don't show any suspicions yet. The Delawares and I will watch from here.
Magua, do you know where we are? Here it is almost night. You've had us on the trail all day, and we seem as far away from William Henry as we were this morning. Tell me the truth. Are we lost?
Trail long.
But you said this morning that you could reach the fort by noon, or a little later.
Trail long. Pale-faced woman goes slow.
I want the truth, Magua. If you are not sure about the path, then I shall engage a white hunter we have met. He says he is acquainted with every nook of these woods.
Pale-faced hunter alone?
Alone? Why, no.
Lurina Sutil will go. Pale-faced will see none but his own color.
Lurina Sutil, sly fox. Whom do you call the sly fox?
Magua, Lurina Sutil. Name given Magua by Canada fathers.
Magua, you told me you promised the chief of William Henry to guide his daughter through these woods. What will Renard say to the hot-blooded Scotsman if you desert us now?
Renard will not hear him in wood.
But what will the Mohawks say if you prove a traitor? They will make you petticoats and make you stay in the wigwam with the women. Oh, but come now, Magua. Why should we quarrel? Let us rest here for a moment. Open your wallet and eat. When the lady is refreshed, we'll proceed.
Pale faces make themselves dogs to women.
What say you, Renard?
Say it good.
But we must not delay too long. Montcalm may even now be in our path. What's the matter, Renard? Did you hear something?
Renard hear nothing.
Then why did you start so? But go on with your meal. We must hurry.
Renard no eat.
Is your corn dry? Maybe I can find something among my own provisions you would like. Let me dismount. Magua, stop!
Stay with the cow, Major. We'll take him. After the farmer, Douglas, after him.